Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Oh, are we still doing this? Okay.
Yeah, we're still on this hour, so be mind.
I better pay attention. I'm going to start with the phone number this time.
Yeah.
Not that it did any good to repeat it about 300 times last hour, but
then do it 305 times. Let's go.
Wow, pretty bossy. 855-935-TALK. That's our phone number. 855-935-8255. Wow, this just doesn't make any sense. We're going to talk about something, and I just am looking. I'm doing some research, and it doesn't make sense. We're here to talk about money. Money matters because money matters. It matters a lot. You need it to live. You need it to enjoy life. You need it to move forward. You need it for security in the future. And you need somebody on whom you can at least somewhat depend for an honest answer.
I could give you one company that you can't. Actually, I should thank this company. No, we should, because they've given us so much fodder over the last 10 years.
Oh, no kidding.
Really, seriously, if you think about it.
And they were such a great company when they were just driving the wagons.
Oh, yeah.
When they were driving wagons around, everybody loved their wagons. Yeah. I mean, they even had a song about the wagons.
And now they're circling the wagons.
You know, their wagons were coming down the street, and please let it be for me.
And they're from my old hometown, too.
Hmm. I start in a community theater version of that. But I was not the music man.
Paint your wagons?
I was the music man.
Oh, the music man.
I was not the music man. I was the guy, the anvil salesman. I can't even remember
Paul Merriman was the music man.
He was?
Mm-hmm.
In the music man?
I believe so.
You mean Paul has a better credit than I do in community theater?
I'm sorry, I don't burst your bubble this far, but you know, he's above us on it, basically everything, so get over it. What are we talking about here?
Goodness, he's older, too.
That's a good point. He's way above us there. We're talking about, this is an interesting
story.
You know
he's listening.
So Wells Fargo, of course he is. The phone will light up here. I hadn't even thought
of that. Other big role did you do, Paul?
He's not allowed to discuss it for obvious reasons. Wells Fargo. Thank you, Wells Fargo, for always giving us stuff to talk about. Well, Wells Fargo, kindly, I guess, or not, they run the 401k plan for United Health. Now, I know about United Health because I think that's our health provider, right?
Well, not only that, but they're like the largest health insurer
in the country. They were.
They're ginormous.
Well, 200,000 current and former employees are in the 401k plan. Well, it turns out if you're in that plan, you use Wells Fargo funds.
Ew.
Yeah.
Well,
and those funds are, well, you can't have a fiduciary relationship and use those funds. That's the way I'd look at it, and that's the way some employees who filed lawsuit against the CFO, pardon me, a guy named John Rex, saying he breached the fiduciary duty under the employee retirement, et cetera. But the bottom line is they went and looked at, well, wait a minute, we could use Vanguard funds or State Street funds or Fidelity funds. So we looked it up.
Yeah.
The Wells Fargo 2025 fund.
Well, give me that symbol again.
Target date fund.
WFHRX
as in X-ray.
Human Resources X. Okay. HR. No. So that's the R shares, which are the which are the institutional shares.
Yep.
Here's what I was looking up before the show. This baffles me. By the way, just to let you know, maybe it's coincidental, but it could be because the Wells Fargo name is so tarnished. I don't know, but I noticed they're now all called Allspring funds.
Oh, take a guess. Yeah. Really.
Allspring. Mm-hmm. They still have the old WF ticker symbol, but they're called Allspring.
But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the Allspring Target 2025 R shares have an expense ratio of 0.85%. That's ridiculous.
That's outrageous.
But Tom, I don't know the difference. I'd need to do a little more research because I just brought this up. The Allspring Dynamic Target 2035 R6. You see, there is a class that is less expensive that they could be using. Because the 25 Dynamic Target 2035 R6 has an expense ratio, I know, can you believe these names, of 0.14%.
which is closer to where you should be
right.
for a target date fund. See? I was just going to look at what Vanguard's 2025 is out of curiosity. Vanguard's is 0.13%.
And so
there's no way in the world you should be paying 0.85.
Well, but here's my question. Could it be, and I don't know the answer, I'd take a lot of research to figure it out, but could it be that United Healthcare could go back to Wells Fargo and say, why don't you have us in these cheaper dynamic target funds, which, by the way, have their funds of funds. They're a well-diversified portfolio, Tom. I mean, really well-diversified. That may be why. Oh,
and
I think
let me just add this
I
to
may
it.
Have seen why.
Just let me add something. Wells Fargo, of course, serves as the banking partner for United Health. Think that one through.
I'm sure glad I have a break right now because it allows me to work on my theory. We'll be back. 855-935-TALK.
Are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com. V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hello again. Our number is 855-935-TALK to talk about your money matters. I'm Don. That's Tom. We're talking real money. And my theory didn't pan out. But I did discover during the break that apparently Allspring, which is Wells Fargo, has a whole series of R6 funds, which is a share class.
Those are exclusive to retirement plans.
Right. But
R6, yeah.
But, I mean, you'd think, considering how big the United Health retirement plan is, that those would be made available to investors. And it appears to me that they're 0.7% cheaper
than the
one you mentioned.
Yeah.
Which was just the R 2025. Share.
2025. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is, yeah. I'm looking at a 2025 R6 share, and it's 0.14%.
Which is still slightly more expensive than the Vanguard equivalent.
What's the Vanguard equivalent?
0.13.
Okay, we're quibbling.
All right, that's not a big
over
deal.
Over
no,
one
but okay.
100th. And by the way, I just want to tell you, I actually kind of like what I hate to say this, and I hate to say it out loud
pains
even more.
Pains you greatly, yes.
It pains me to say. I'm actually pretty impressed with the portfolio of these Allspring Dynamic Target R6 shares because their factor funds. They have a small cap tilt. They have okay, a value tilt.
Let me finish this because it's interesting.
All right.
This story before we go to the phones. It's fascinating, frankly, because I mentioned that this all arises as a result of a lawsuit against the CFO of United Health. The CFO, John Rex, he overruled a plan to remove the Wells Fargo target date funds despite recommendations from an independent investment consultant and the company's investment committee to do so. Said, no, we're going to stick with them. And boy, that's pretty indefensible if they are paying anywhere near 0.85, Don.
No,
I mean,
kidding.
That's pretty tough. I mean, so
oh,
we'll see
wait.
How it plays
I'm
out.
Liking it a little less. Wow. This is a complicated portfolio. Not only do they go long and they go with factors, but they also play currencies with a small portion. They're
what?
Actually short the pound. Short means you don't own it. You're selling it. They're short the pound. They're short the ruble. They're short the EAFE September 22 options. It's an interesting, weird mix. Wow, they are short a lot of stuff. So they're hedging? It's a hedge fund. It's a hedge fund.
This is nothing equivalent to the Vanguard target date 2025.
No,
I would not
now,
play these kind of games.
Now I have
no
to
way.
Look at their performance.
It says it's worse against six different benchmarks. Anyway.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to drop that.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting look at the world of of retirement plans and the strange stuff that can be
it
in there.
It shows you, by the way, if you think you're getting a target date fund and assume it's a certain way, don't assume it.
Yeah, don't assume
Because you're finding out the management's weird. You're finding out the cost is hard to figure out. And it could be far different than if you own it at Vanguard or Fidelity or somewhere else.
Our number again, 855-935-TALK. We encourage you to call with your questions, with your concerns, with your portfolio. Let us help you with it. 855-935-8255. And Gary, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Yeah, thank you. I got two questions. Lately, Vanguard seems to want to force me out of my Vanguard mutual funds and transition them to ETFs. So is Vanguard no longer going to be a mutual fund company, or do you know anything about that?
No.
Well, they're both.
They're both. They're not going to stop being a mutual fund company. What I think what you're talking about is the letter that my wife just got too, that says that we need you, unless you want to pay extra money, move from your mutual fund account into a brokerage account. But you can move the mutual fund into the brokerage account. You do not have to go with an ETF.
Okay. That was my misunderstanding then. And the second question is regarding mutual fund ETFs. When I scanned the ETF for the corresponding Vanguard mutual fund, it seemed like there were no assets in the fund. It was like an index. They just accumulated the money and then raised it and lowered it. Is that correct? Or a mutual fund?
We're both looking at each other. We're both looking at each other blankly. We were both looked at each other like, huh?
My apologies.
Explain what you mean again.
A mutual fund would actually have all the stocks that are in the mutual fund that are part of the index.
Okay.
Does an ETF do the same thing?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. For example, let's look at VTWAX, which is the Vanguard Total World Stock Index Fund. Its portfolio consists of 9,351 stocks around the planet. If you go to VT, which is the ETF version of that fund, and we go to portfolio, I want to give you the exact number. They're going to be really, really close, if not identical. Oh, they're identical. 9,351 stocks.
Exactly the same. My question is the mutual fund and the ETFs counting the same stocks? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Rather than two separate piles.
They're the same stocks. Because they have to own the index. They have to exactly, if they call themselves an index fund, unless they are an index emulator, they need to own the index.
In the same percentages as those shares.
Exactly.
So that makes, it's going to match up exactly. And here's my question to you, Gary, is why wouldn't you want to move from mutual funds to exchange traded funds if they can do it sort of in kind where there's no tax ramification?
Every time I've looked at that, it's always seemed a little sketchy just for me. I've just had mutual funds for, 20, 30 years or whatever, and it seemed to be fine.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden they say, we're
sounds like us,
new.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what's the difference? And every time I pull it up on Vanguard's website, it's like they don't really explain the benefits.
But we will. What
really convinced me against it was when the fees, they said the ETF had lower fees. Well, why would it have lower fees?
Vanguard needs to do a better job of answering your questions. They shouldn't have to rely on us to do it, but we will do it. And by the way, Gary, Tom and I are very similar to you. It took us a very long time. No, because we just don't trust this industry. You know, there's so many things that are pitched that turn out to be bad. And it took the flash crash, really, and for us to see how they weathered that, for us to start having confidence. We weren't prior to 2011. We never recommended ETFs. Never, ever.
But now they really have all the advantages, both in the way they're constructed and taxes, et cetera.
So. Huge. And that's what we're going to talk about after we break real quickly for some quick stuff. We're going to talk about the advantages of ETFs and how they compare. So hang in there with us, Gary. We'll be right back.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Confused about how money works? Particularly confused about the investment industry? We can't blame you for that last part because, wow, is this a confusing industry? And ETFs were a confusing product. Give us a call, 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. But today, ETFs have entered that, they have history now. They have a lot of history. They've got great structure. And they've proven to be very effective over now decades. And bear in mind, mutual funds only started less than 100 years ago. So,
yeah, and here's a couple of things to think about. Number one, generally, and this isn't totally, but generally, the expenses of the exchange-traded fund are going to be less than the equivalent mutual fund. Not all the time, but generally.
But in the case of VT Wax and VT, it's 30% less.
For the ETF or for the
ETF.
Mutual fund? Okay, so that's one. Number two, depending on where your money's located, they trade for free. So there are instances, by the way, if you own Vanguard at Fidelity, blah, 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 they're going to charge you to trade Vanguard funds. Outrageous, but it happens. But here's the biggest one. The capital gains taxes. Now, this is something that people have a tendency to overlook when it comes to investing. And they don't, well, everybody pays those. No, everybody doesn't pay those. And the good investors are careful about how much tax they pay. ETFs are more tax efficient than mutual funds. The way the ETF is structured, they actually hand the shares inside of it rather than selling and buying. So it reduces capital gains taxes and fairly dramatically. So if you own exchange traded funds in a brokerage account, I don't want to get too far into this, but unlike a IRA or Roth IRA, makes a lot of sense to have those there, Dom, because you're going to save yourself, as I say, operating expense, any commissions, and absolutely on the capital gains tax.
Particularly in funds that aren't just are trading more often, you know, that have a larger, broader portfolio. For example, and particularly with active funds, I mean, looking at, an active fund, comparing it to VT, and I see multiple years where they had big capital gains distributions, which were taxable, whereas indexes
and they didn't
ETFs,
even, the fund was actually down.
Yeah.
There can be cases where the fund has lost money, but you still have this big capital gains tax. So there's a lot of reasons that ETFs are really having their moment in the sun, and I suspect it will last a long time.
Yeah, I really think they're great. I think they're a terrific way to invest, and we are hard to
convince.
And now,
by the way, then we are entire, if you walked in the door today and we went to work for you, our entire portfolio is exchange-traded funds.
And that was not the case.
No.
5 years ago,
even. Not long ago.
Yeah.
No.
855-935-TALK is our phone number, and Doug, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi there.
Hey, Doug.
Investing in a company that it seems like a grassroots movement is able to directly register the shares of our company into our own names, taking them kind of out of the system. I'm wondering if it gets to the point where we're able to directly register all of them, what happens to that company in that instance? So assume like it's shorted. What happens to that stock or that company once it's all taken out of the system of the DTC?
Okay, I gotta try to understand what we're talking about. So you work for a publicly traded company, correct?
I don't work for a publicly traded company, no. I invest in a publicly traded company.
Oh, you invest in a publicly traded company. And how are you you're registering them with the company that you're investing in, and they're holding those shares?
Like a drip plan or something like that.
Okay, I get this.
A lot of CEOs, a lot of C-suite situations for most companies are set up like this. The companies themselves are not able to advertise it.
I don't know what advantage there would be to a company to do that with all of their shares. To in essence, what you're saying is, what if they pulled them all out of the public markets? Right? Like, I can't imagine anyone doing that. That's called going private.
It would be bad. Yeah, it would be. They'd be getting Elon Musk to write the check.
Yeah. How would
then the share price would the share, you would have no liquidity. You would have the only liquidity would be determined by your by the company in which you were investing. They would determine what price they were willing to pay, unless they had some sort of an internal marketplace which managing it. I think that the regulators would have a field day with that too. I just think it removes your liquidity.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com. It has like 78 engines or something.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Yeah, it's really important. So that's why we talk about real money, because it's a real life issue that you really need to know more about, because you get in a lot of trouble when you don't. So call us at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. And Nick has rejoined us. Nick was in the last hour, but something came up. So we're bringing him back again. Better
Thank
than
you, Nick.
Ever. Thanks for calling,
by
Nick.
Demand.
By
demand. Yeah,
by popular demand. What's that?
Well, how nice of you guys. Hey, I have a question. I was wondering, you know, how interest rates are on the climb again. And are the banks ever going to raise rates back into, you know, checking accounts or savings accounts, or are they, how does that happen, or will it happen?
Well, they're going to do it slowly. And they've publicly stated that they will do this slowly. So the answer is yes.
And the reason they're going to do it slowly is because there's more money to be made if they do it slowly.
Really? Yeah. That's shocker. They have $18 trillion sitting around in savings and checking accounts that they're paying. Well, I don't know what Bank of America's at now. Last time I looked at it was like 0.4, I think, or something. It's very low. But you can beat the system to some degree if you're risk averse and you just want to have it in savings account, because you can go to high yield savings account and make like 2.3 or something.
Hey,
right?
By the way, just to let you know, I'm looking at Bankrate.com and Wells Fargo on their money market at their bank.
You ready
for their yield as of? They're really doing it slowly. Wells Fargo 0.01%.
Oh, God's sakes, these people.
And they're advertising
Meanwhile,
that.
Charging you 0.85% for their fund.
Meanwhile,
yeah, that's
on
nice.
A checking well, account, no, I'm sorry, a savings account at, no, checking at SoFi, on a checking account.
Yeah. How
I'm going to move my checking account. 2% at SoFi.
And what the high yield savings? What are those?
2.1 at CIT Bank.
Back to your question. I mean, I would not expect anything dramatic. They've come up a lot in the last 6 months, but I would not expect anything dramatic, especially in light of the fact that banks are no dummies. They're sitting around waiting. They know that at some point, Professor Powell will have to turn around and say, we're going to start dropping rates when the economy looks like its inflation is under control, whatever that number is. And they're going to turn it around. So they're not going to go racing up before that.
However, if you want to enjoy the immediacy of rate increases, because they're reflected much more rapidly in bond funds, look at the Vanguard Total Bond Market Fund.
What is it at now?
BND. It is paying, the SEC yield is now over 3.33%.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's way up from where it was just a year ago.
Oh, yeah. Way, way, way. So. That help, Nick?
Your money up or anything? Yeah, go ahead.
Did that help you?
Up your money or anything?
Bond funds are variable. They fluctuate, but at the banks, those bank accounts we're talking about, no, they're immediately liquid.
Yeah, right. So that's where they're at about now.
About 2% at the high end.
2%, okay. And one more question is, I'm 67. I have rentals that are paid off, and that's how I make my income. But I'm getting to a point where I don't really want to have rentals. And I was wondering if I sold these, where I could put how if I sell them, is there a way to get out of capital gains so you don't pay this huge amount of tax? Or is there a way to have
it? The only way I know, I'm going to just stop you. The only way I know would be to do a 1031 exchange of some kind. I don't know of anything else.
1035.
1030.
1031's annuities, right? Yeah.
No, I think 1031
I get confused as which one's which. But the problem with that is, the problem with the 1035 or 1031 exchange, and I think 1035, oh, that's for insurance. 1031 is for real estate. Tom was right. Yeah. 1031 exchange, you have to invest in a like-kind property.
Yeah, you're not getting out of your thing because you're moving into the next thing.
Right. So, and this is, and please don't take offense at this, Nick, but this is one of my pet peeves. People are always calling, going, "How do I get out of paying tax? I don't want to pay tax. I can tell you, I would rather have the profit and pay the tax. I just, given a choice, there's a second part of that. What? What's the other part? What did I miss?
Look out the window. In a general sense, this is still a pretty good place to live, right? There's nobody shelling us here. There's security. I mean, this is a pretty good country.
I don't know. Finland has a dancing prime minister. I'd rather be there.
Well, you watch that all day while still living in this country, sir. So,
855-935-TALK is our phone number. We'll be.
I don't want to see our leader do that, if you don't mind.
Are you kidding? No, no, no. I don't want to see Joe vibrate.
We're talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
If you, by the way, if you have my lawnmower, I'm coming to your house to get that damn mower back. Okay? So, be warned. Somebody went and heisted my mower from Home Depot, and I want that mower back. So anyway, we'll find it.
It wasn't, I mean, did it have your name on it?
Yeah, it basically did have my name on it.
I think they just sold it out for Monday. I don't think it was anything.
They're on my you-know-what list.
Yeah, you're mad.
Anyway, we got a lot to do here. So
and then he's going out later to get KFC. Korean fried chicken.
I know. KFC. I wonder what? I've never heard anyone say that before. Yeah. That's pretty smart. So yeah, it's good.
Colonel
fried chicken, the Colonel's place. Yeah.
Colonel Cho's Korean fried chicken.
Colonel Chow's chicken.
You got a Korean guy with a cool Korean hat with a little white beard on the side of the box, and you go
north
like,
or south though? Which one?
You gotta go south.
Because if it's north, it's just the bones. There's nothing on the chicken.
If you go north, it's actually just a pigeon, a plump pigeon.
Oh God!
That's not north even Korean that plump. Fried chicken. Ugh. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. We do have folks on the line, like Bill. Bill, you're next. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have a question regarding Treasury bills. And,
sure.
I bought a Treasury bill back in June of this year, about the 10th, and I did it on the My older son, who thinks he's a guru about these things, said I should buy one. So I did. And I did. I felt pretty safe about it because it's a government bond. But I don't know how these things work. So that's what I'm calling about.
Okay.
Well, T-bill is pretty short in duration.
Right. The longest maturity on a T-bill is 52 weeks.
A year.
1 year.
So in a year, you're going to get your money back.
Right. That's it.
You bought it at Treasury Direct, I'm assuming?
Yes, I got it online. I did. Yeah. And it gave me the option that I could go ahead and just keep turning it over, but I didn't because I wasn't sure how this works. So
then what will happen is when your bond matures at whatever term you purchased, the account you have at Treasury Direct will show the amount you paid for the bond plus the coupon, which the coupon on that was
in June of 2022 for
if it
a
was
bill,
a 52-week T bill, it was probably about 2.5%.
Yeah, I was gonna say barely over 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would get the 10 back. I put 10,000 in, of course, but you would get
$10,250.
Don't spend it all in one spot.
What is the guru part of this?
Is that all?
Yeah, I'm trying to decide.
Pardon?
250 or I get 2000 back?
No, 250. No. Yeah.
If you do, by the way, give us a call because we're going to rush some money down there.
2500 back would be 25% on your bond, and I want that rate.
Yeah, we'll take that. Well, we can get that for you in Ukrainian war bond, but we don't buy those.
Apparently some of these real estate deals.
So if I would have bought a treasury note or a treasury bond, how would that work then?
Exactly the same way.
Or an I-bond. You could buy an I-bond at the same website.
Yeah, it's exactly the same way. It's just that if you had purchased a T-note, you would have gotten almost exactly the same rate. If you would have purchased a T-bond going out 30 years, you would have gotten almost exactly the same rate.
Please don't. I guess if you're going to hold it to maturity, then okay. But,
No. All right. Thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. Joanne, you're next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hey, Joanne. Is about, hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
My question is about IRA accounts, and I tuned in a little late, so I don't know if anybody's asked this. Do IRA accounts have to have specific beneficiaries, or does it automatically part of your will? I've been told two different things, that I have to have specific beneficiaries on the IRA account itself.
Well, it depends on the custodian. I believe if you, did you say Wright Capital?
I didn't hear.
Anyway. Okay. Pardon me. So for example, if you go to Charles Schwab, I don't believe that they will let you open an individual retirement account without beneficiaries, because they don't want to try to figure things out after you're gone and figure out what. And by the way, you could name. In your IRA beneficiary could be a trust of yours. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be an individual. Mm-hmm. Or it could be charity. It could be a whole bunch of things. But they're going to want to know where that money goes after you're gone, at least most custodians, as far as I know.
And the wonderful thing about naming beneficiaries, whether it is a trust or individuals, is the fact that it bypasses probate.
Yeah, it just goes right from
whoever gets the money gets the money. And you can have multiple beneficiaries on IRAs.
Yep. You can divide it up. And by the way, off the air, Don will give you his Social Security number so he can be added.
You know, I always you hear those stories where like, oh, you know, this young man treated me so well. I gave him all my stuff.
Oh, you're still waiting for one of those?
I'm still waiting. I'm probably going to die that person dies, if there is even such a person. Apparently, I wasn't that nice. I wasn't that nice in life. I'm going to see Jacob Marley when I dream at night.
Get the chains ready. Yeah. Okay.
Are there no workhouses? Anyway, thanks for the call. And let's see. We do have time. Sure we do. Yep. Thomas, you're next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Okay, so I'm bringing up the rear here. My question is, I got a couple of them real quick. Is I'm 65 years old. My wife is 65. She's retired. I'm still working for the U.S. Navy as a civil servant. We make about $9,500 a month. Our expenses are about $5,000 a month, so we carry a little surplus every month. My wife starts drawing her pension from her retirement this month. It's about $900, and was like trying to figure out what to do with that since we obviously don't need it right now. And I'm looking to retire in January of 2024. And I've been holding off, and my wife has held off on Social Security use.
Good.
So I'm wondering if she needs to start pulling her Social Security now just so that she spends it, because she intends to use my Social Security, and my Social Security, when it gets to full term at, I think, 66 and something, I was born in 57, will be about 29. And
But Thomas, you have a huge surplus every month.
Yeah.
You have now an extra $900. So
on top of the surplus,
you have over $5,000 in surplus income every single month.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Therefore, if I was you, and I am very close to being you, and your wife, my wife, we're similar in age, unless there's an issue, a genetic issue, a familial issue,
health,
that you think somebody might pass before they're 80 and change, I would wait until 70 in both cases. And
you
then
you need a retirement plan. You need a plan.
Yeah, you do need a plan. But the other thing is as you, when you get to retirement or before you get to retirement, one of the things you can do when you get to this point in life, that $900 extra, take a vacation. Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hey, I missed you. Really?
What are you talking about?
It's true. I miss seeing people. We used to do these classes and we'd see
people.
Oh, I thought
you meant you missed me.
Yeah, I miss you too, partner. But anyway, come out and see me in person. Bellevue, September 17th. If you're worried about your retirement, trying to figure out how to invest, all that stuff, retiring in a recession. I also have Kevin Peterson there to talk about Medicare. There's a very nominal charge. We're going to do it online as well. But join me Saturday, September 17th, 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Tell them how to register, Don, because I always forget.
I have no idea. No, actually, okay, go to talkingrealmoney.com and click on the classes. I think that might work. But somebody took that over from me.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary, investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial product or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.